Okay, we're picking up 10 lines from the top of Tes Vav Amud Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored the Ilu Nishmas Shel Ames Bas Yaakov. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. So now the Gemara wants to find out who was that Tana that we discussed in the Braisa of yesterday. If you remember, we had Shimon Hanasi. So the Gemara says, Iba Elihu, Rabbi Shimon Hanasi. So what is the status of Shimon Hanasi? Nasi hu o mishmei de Nasi kamar. Was he himself a Nasi or not? As Tosus point out, de lo matzino shaya Nasi. We never really see anywhere that Rabbi Shimon was defined as a Nasi. And it's not talking about Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, because Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was the father of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and he would not be mentioned after him in the Braisa. We would go with the earlier generation as more kedimas and more respect to the earlier generation, so we wouldn't have mentioned him afterwards. So lechora, that's the Shiloh over here. Who was this Rabbi Shimon that we haven't seen? Was he actually a Nasi that we're just not familiar with as being one of them? And what's the difference if he was a Nasi or if he was a Nasi? So the Achrona point out that we have to know each Tana what he said, because we can make sushtels and comparisons throughout Shas. If we hear another statement of Rabbi Shimon Anasi somewhere else in Shas, we can know how that works nicely and develops with his Shita that he said in other places, that it would line up nicely in Svara. So says the Gemara, Tashma, we can bring a proof. Damar Rav Yosef Alacha Rav Shimon Hanasi. So Rav Yosef said the Alacha in this price that follows Rav Shimon Hanasi, implying that Rav Shimon himself was a Nasi. So the Gemara says no, but Vaidanti by Lach Nasi who to come Mishmei Nasi. He was just quoting, paraphrasing the Braisa. Maybe the Braisa was imprecise and not mentioning to us the fact that he was saying it in the name of a Nasi or not. He himself was in fact not a Nasi. To which the Gemara answers, Teku. We don't know. We're not sure if he was or not. The famous Teku, according to many Achronim, is Tishbi Taritz Koshios Vabayas, that eventually in the time of Eliyahu, we are going to resolve our disputes and our questions. Okay. So as the Gemara writes the Gufa, I'm Rav Yosef, Alach Rav Shimon Anasi. The halacha follows Rav Shimon Hanasi. Says like, "Ah, come on, but wait a minute." The divrei shchemirah k'chsuvin k'tsurun dama. We hold that when a person says something over as a shchemirah on his deathbed, so it's as if it's written. You don't need a kinyan, as we mentioned in the whole svara many times already. So the kinyan takes effect automatically when he dies. So how is it that Rav Shimon Hanasi, he's telling us that the money is returned to the children of the mishaleach, of the person who sent the money? Lachora, that is against the classic understanding of how we understand the ways of a shchemirah. So says the Gemara says, Rav Yosef Muki Labibari. Rav Yosef is understanding the Braisa as referring to a person who's not sick at all, as the Gemara had in the original Havamina, and therefore the halacha follows Rav Shimon Hanasi is just telling, goes back to the children of the sender. Rav Yosef is just telling us that this is the halacha by a bari, and then the halacha of ten or tnu is not like lav kischi dami. That's how we would understand right now. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, v'ha liyorshe mishaleach kamar. So Rav Shimon Hanasi tells us that you should send it back to the children of the original person who sent it, the money. But there's another halacha at play, which is the halacha of mitzvah l'kayim devarim. There's a mitzvah, there's an obligation to uphold the words of the person who died. You clearly know that he wanted to give $1,000 to Shimon. So the money should not go back to Reuven's children. The money should go to Shimon or Shimon's children. So the Gemara says, you're right. Tane yachzer the mishaleach. The way Rav Yosef understood the Braisa is referring to that the money should be returned to the original sender. He's still alive. Not to the heirs, not to their children. Rather, to the actual sender himself, the actual mishaleach, and the sender himself is obviously entitled to give back the money if the guy dies, because he doesn't necessarily want to give it to to Shimon's children. He was best friends with Shimon, so he wanted to give $1,000 as a present. Now Shimon's dead, he doesn't care about the children, and he doesn't want to give all the money back, so then we would say Tanu is not alav kischidami, and therefore the guy can, in fact, when he sees that Shimon had died, does not have to give it to Shimon's children, rather he can go ahead and take the money back. That is the way Rav Yosef understood the Braisa. With that, we finish the first parak. Hajin alach amevi get, hajin alach amevi get, hajin alach amevi get. Really, it's amevi get kama, because it's the first of the amevi get, I was about to see right now, is the next Hamevi Get. The second parak of Hamevi Get. We have two prakim of Hamevi Get. Okay, so now we have another Mevi Get. This is similar halacha to the idea of Mevi Get and and how the situation works with Fun and Achtam and Fun and Achtam. The next Mishnah tells us Hamevi Get Mevedina Sayam. So the new parak tells us if someone brings a get to Eretz Yisrael from Chutz Laaretz, V'amar B'Fun and Achtam Aval Lo B'Fun and Achtam. He admits, he says the get was written in my presence. However, he says it was not signed in my presence. Or Bifana Nechtam Aval Lo Bifana Nechtav. Or if he says it was signed in my presence, but he didn't say that it was written in my presence. Or Bifana Nechtav Kula Bifana Nechtam Chetzio. The entire get was written in my presence and half of it was signed in my presence. So then Bifana Nechtav Chetzio Bifana Nechtam Kula. Half was written in my presence and the other half was signed in my presence. And all of these examples, puzzle. That the Mishnah is telling us that these are puzzle. That based on the fact of, we had the famous machlokas between Rav and Rabba already, that the guy is not able to, according to Rabbah, it would be that it's a problem of Lishma. He's not able to attest that it had been signed Lishma. In the second case, even though the signatures had a kiyum, again, it's possible because maybe we can't establish that it was done lishma. That's how Rava would understand it. Rava would understand because there you would come to the wrong conclusion that kiyum shtar can be done with just simply one witness, because here you didn't have the right procedure done, and since you're not doing the right procedure, then you would be a problematic. And saying that the person always has to say it took place in his presence, the Chachamim are telling us that it doesn't look like a regular Kiyam Ashtar according to Rava, and therefore we would not have a person making the mistake. That's what we said all the way back, if you remember, on Dav Gimel. So that the first two cases are going to be in the format of Lozu Avzu, that they're both not really a Chiddush in one to the other. It's the first, meaning that the first one is a lesser of a Chiddush, and then the second din is the more of the Chiddush. So therefore, according to Rava, the second case of the Mishnah is definitely a bigger Chiddush, since it's teaching us halacha that even writing of the get, which has no connection to normal or standard kiyum shtar, must be, you have to have the shaliach say b'fanai nechtam as well. According to Rava, the second case is a bigger Chiddush, because in the first case, there are two reasons to pasul the get. A, there is no kiyum shtar of the signatures, there's no edus that it was done lishma. The second one, the only problem we have is maybe the get was or ilishma. So there we have lozu avzu, and that is the way the Mishnah is being understood according to both Rabbah and Rava. These are why these cases are possible. Echad omer b'fanan echtam. Now, what happens if one witness says it was written in my presence? Echad omer b'fanan echtam. The other one says it was signed in my presence. Maybe they should combine. Mishnah tells us pasul. We're going to see on tomorrow's daf the exact reason for that, but that is what the Mishnah tells us. Shnayim omerim b'fanenu nechtam. If two people say that the get was written in our presence, echad omer b'fanan echtam. The other one says it was signed in my presence. Pasul. The lach is the get over here would be pasul. Rabbi Yehuda says such a get is going to be kosher. The fact that the Beis Din requires the edus about the writing of the get, in addition to the fact that the actual signatures itself, so then we assume that it would be fine, and they're not going to come to make a mistake. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says is okay. Echad omer b'fanan echtam, v'echad shnayim omerim b'fanenu echtam. Then the Mishnah tells us kosher. Again, this is going to have to take us, I think, 2 days to get to Daf Yud Zayin. We're going to discuss this point of the Mishnah as well. Okay, so now the Gemara tells us, Hasul Amli, why does the Tana teach us this halacha that a get that was sent from Chutz Laaretz, that the Shaliach has to say that he has to befanan echtam and befanan echtam? HaTana Lechad Azinu, we already mentioned this in the very first Mishnah of the Masechta. HaMevi get, Mevidina Sayam, the halacha is if someone brings a get to Eretz Yisrael from Chutz Laaretz, Tzarech Sheomer befanan echtam, befanan echtam. So then he has to say that it was written and signed in my presence. That's what the Mishnah tells us. So says the Gemara, no, because really both Mishnahs are necessary. Because if you only told me the first Mishnah, if you only told me the first Mishnah, then I would have thought, Hava mina tzarech v'lo, amar kosher. I would have thought this is only a din lechachila. That the halacha is lechachila, you have to say b'fanan nechtam, that it was both written and signed in my presence. However, if you didn't do that, you forgot, or for whatever reason it wasn't done, so then that din lechachila is not going to pass the get, and the get is kosher b'diavet in after the fact situation. So Kamash Bon, so our Mishnah is telling us that this is Ma'akiv Im B'Di'evet, that the get is Mamish Pasul if this statement was not done properly. So says the Gemara further, quoting the next part of the Mishnah, B'fanan Nechtav Chetzio B'fanan Nechtam Kulo Pasul, that if the Shaliach says half of the get was written in my presence and all of it was signed in my presence, the get is Pasul. So the Gemara says, Hey Chetzio, what are we referring to when you say half of the get, that it was, which part that he's saying that was written in his presence? Ile Mechetzio, you're going to tell me that the Shaliach said the first half of the get was written, and that's going to be a case where it's possible. So it says the Gemara, that's not true. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, we had this Gemara earlier. Daf Ham Rabbi, the Gemara told us, "Afilu lo kasava ela shita achas lishma shuv eino tarech." That the Gemara told us that even if the sofer only wrote the first line of the get for the sake of Reuven divorcing Sarah, that the shliach doesn't need to witness any further of the get. He can assume that right because the ikar get in written lishma, we can assume that the chazaka that the rest of it is fine, and therefore he sees it and doesn't need anything else. So says the Gemara now, so why would this be possible? The Mishnah seems to not line up. So says the Gemara, Elam Ravashi, Chetio Achron. You're right. He didn't see the first half. The Iker point of the get where it said Reuven were divorcing Sarah, Reuven ben Avram from wherever it is, Rishai Chesed, Yerushalayim is divorcing Sarah, Bas Avram from B'nai Brak. So if he missed that line, so then, and they only continue the Hemshech of the get, which is not the Iker part of the get, so then he did not see the essential part of the get, and therefore he cannot establish that it was really written Lishma, according to Rabbah, and Pashut, that it shouldn't work. So now what about Rava? that the fact that he has a kiyum shtar is going to get confused with other kiyum shtaros, because it's not really correct that he saw the ikar point of the get to sign on it to write that it was to have this proper kiyum shtar. So that's why the Gemara says even according to Rava this would be problematic. So therefore that's why the Gemara says over here that this case in fact is going to be invalid. So it says the Gemara, "Befanei nechtam kulo, befanei nechtam chetzio pasul." If the shaliach said that the entire get was written in my presence and half of it was signed in my presence, the get is also pasul. Says the Gemara, "Amar Rav Chista, v'afilo shnayim me'idim al chsimas yad sheni." Even if two other people who are not shalichim of the husband testify to the second signature, pasul, that the get is going to be pasul. My time, what's the reason for this? Oh, kulo became a get, because either the entire point of the get has to be the two witnesses are testifying, they both recognize the signatures, that is going to be a kiyum shtar, like any kiyum shtar. Oh, kula b'takanas chachamim, or it has to be done entirely through the idea that the chachamim made the takana, where the shaliach says that b'fanu neftam, and the chachamim told him that it's the valid, that has the validity of two witnesses. A combination of the two is not going to be valid. So l'chora, we said before in Daf Vav that Rav Chista actually accepted the lach of Rabba, that the reason for the whole gzera over here is because they don't know lishma. So the idea over here that the shaliach, if the shaliach cannot testify both the witnesses signed again in his presence, nevertheless it's sufficient if two of them did a simple kiyum shtar, lechora is against what he said earlier. That's the shaila of the Rishonim. Before, really enough, Gimel, they already brought it up, but here it's really where the steer comes up. That's a very good shaila. So apparently over here, This din and whatever, you're going to have to make a chiluk and try to get fancy. Tosos have different, here maybe it's different than a kiyum shtar regular. Okay, this is a tzarachid and the shita rechista. Rechista anyway, nonetheless, seems to go with Rava over here, that would be fine. So the Gemara says, maskev, the Rava though didn't like this argument. Mi ika midi de ilo elmar chad kasher, that if one shaliach just said befanu neftam, the get would in fact be valid. Hashtad ika trei, but now there are two witnesses who are saying that the signature is fine. So you have one witness testifying on one, and two of the other ones possibly are going to tell me that it's not valid. The Rabbanan said that the guy has the status of two witnesses. So when he's saying, b'fanei neftam chetzio on one of the edim, and two of the edim said the other confirmation, that's fine. So that really shouldn't be the issue. So it says, Ela Amar Rava, so that's not the explanation of the Mishnah. Therefore, Rava has to come on to a different answer. Rather, it says Rava, afilu, right, turning on to the next Talmud now, who ve'acher me'idin al chsimas yad sheni pasul, that the shaliach and another person outside witness are testifying to the second signature, the get is going to be invalid. So if he just said v'fanu neftam on both signatures, he's good. But here, even if it's him and a combination of other guys, so all you've done is just added a witness to the second chasima. So great, so now you just have two people testifying. That's what you would have thought. That should be totally kosher. But says Rava, no, it's not kosher. Says Gemara, why? My time. What's the reason for this? Asu lachlufe b'kiyum shtar stalma. People are going to get confused with this halacha and the regular din of a kiyum shtar. We said that this form of get is similar to a kiyum shtar to confirm the document. When you have a document that's signed by witnesses, so the halacha of the Gemara is that it's not, if it's kechaspa be'alma, it's not kosher until you ratify and you establish that these signatures were in fact the people who signed. Everyone knows their signatures, they have the sign, and they confirm that they were their signatures. So if it's a kiyum shtaros be'alma, what would happen? Kanafik revia de mamona, apuma dechad sehade, that they would be taking out less than a quarter of the money on the word of one witness. So what exactly is the issue over here? The Torah tells us that you, the alpi shnaim edim, Yakum Davar. So we learn from over here that when it comes to monetary matters, that you can, each witness is basically responsible for half of the testimony over here. So here, when you have, Rav is telling us that if you give him the status of two witnesses and he confirms the first signature, and the second one, it seems like it's 3/4 of the matter is going to be done through the first shaliach and only 1/4 on the other one. But as we said, that's a problem of al pi shnei edim yakum davar, that you need to have that each one is responsible for half of their edus, half of their testimony. So here, if one of the edim seems to be absul d'oraisa, that if one of the edim are invested with a higher level of credibility and are giving more status and more tokef to the document or whatever they're testifying about than the other one, that seems to be a gzeras hakasav midoraisa, that it is puzzle. So here, since you're going to get confused, really, but Ekar, it should have been fine. Because we're dealing with the din darabanan, and then the end of the day, we really treat it like one and one, it should have been fine. But since we give him the status like it's two, we tell him it's a problem over here, and it's going to lead to another staros, which is a real psul d'oraisa, to have this kiyum star done in that manner, and that is the issue that Rava says. So it says Gemara Maski of the Ravashi. Ravashi has a problem with this argument because then Miika Midi Tilu Masik Leiu Lekule Dibura, that if the Shaliach had just finished his entire statement without the other person, then it would be fine. No one else testified; it's fine. So then it would be kosher. Hashta the Ika Chad Bade. Now you're telling me you made it worse by having a second Shishugar Puzzle. Why in the world should it be problematic? Since the testimony is it itself would have been fine, the second guy's not doing anything. It's not three quarters and one quarter. It's nothing. It's never going to get confused. The entire get was Mekuyim Alpi the first aid when he said Befanu Nechtam, Befanu Nechtam. Now when the second guy says, oh, also by the way, you should know, I also know the witness of the second witness, and I'm also confirming it. Some random guy in the Yisachar from the Shuk says that Edus, who cares? We just ignore it. It's fine. So it says the Gemara Elam Ravashi. So therefore, Ravashi comes to reject. Ravan offers his own explanation of the Mishnah. Afilo Omer Anihu Eid Sheni. Even if the Shaliach says, "I am the second witness on the get," I am the second witness after stating that the first signature was on the get in his presence. The Shaliach says that the second signature is his own. That's what we're talking about over here. So then, pasul. The get's going to be pasul. Why? My taima. Because o kula b'kiyama get, because either you could do it through the standard confirmation, which would require two witnesses, o kula b'takanas chachamim, or it should be done through the takanas chachamim b'fanenechtam. When the shaliach says that it's his own signature, he's believed like two witnesses, not because he's a shaliach bringing the get, because in all cases a person is believed to confirm his own signature. Hence, therefore, when we say that the second signature is his, the shaliach is now doing the standard of regular kiyum shtar, and now, but the first half when he said b'fanenechtam is using it to the takanas chachamim. So therefore, that is why it's better over here, which is a little bit difficult. Why was this? Why was the kasha that we had earlier not a problem for Rav Ashi as well? That Rava's kasha of Mika Midi the Ilam Arfad Kasha Ashta Deika Trey Apostle, that whole kasha lechora is no different from the way that Rav Ashi has it over here. That's a very good kasha. I know we got a tzarachim for that, but that's what the Gemara says over here. It says Nezik Gemara Vayter Tznan. We learn in the Mishnah Befanu Nechtav Kulo Befanu Nechtam Chetzio Apostle. If the shaliach says the entire get was written in my presence and half of it was signed in my presence, the get is apostle. What is exactly the situation in the other half, meaning the other signature? If we said that there's no one who's testifying about that second edus, then the whole mission, that point of the Mishnah would be lechora, be unnecessary to mention. Why? Because hashta echad omer b'fanu nechtam v'echad omer b'fanu nechtam. So then we said the kamasid al kula ksiva v'aykum as a kula ksiva apostle chetzel mi bar. So if in a situation where the get was written in my presence, and then the other one says it's signed in my presence, so there each one is testifying fully about the entire nature, right? One is entirely testifying about the writing, the other one is entirely testifying about the signing, and yet we say that that case is pasul. So then kol shekein, when only half of the signing was witnessed by that same person, then kol shekein it's going to be pasul. So why would the Mishnah need seemingly mention this extra case? So therefore the Gemara says, Ella, rather we must understand based on this idea that the Mishnah wouldn't best be repeating a case, and there has to be some sort of chiddush over here. Oh, kiderava, oh kiderav Ashi, ve'lafuki mitrav chista. So rather, the Mishnah is coming to teach you the chiddush of Rava, meaning Rava understands that when a shaliach is using somebody else to testify to the second signature, when we have the chashash derabanan, that maybe in other cases is going to come to not do al pishnayim edim, because it's going to look and get confused with other kiyum shtaros where you can have 3/4 on one aid and 1/4 the other, which is the psul d'oraisa. Or k'der Ravashi, like Ravashi, who understands that when the shaliach is signing the second signature as his own, so then you're using the method of kiyum shtaros, and therefore the get is pasul because you cannot combine the takanas chachamim with kiyum shtaros be'alma. And this is coming, the Rav Chista would just l'chora be an extra case over here. So therefore, since Rav Chista is just repeating it, it's in the list of a chiddush would be this case, the Mishnah l'chora is not like Rav Chista, and therefore it's a problem with Rav Chista. So now the Gemara says, no, Rav Chista can answer this as well. Amar l'chora Rav Chista. Rav Chista could say the following, l'tamayech, according to your reasoning, b'fanu nechtam aval, lo b'fanu nechtam lamali. So then, according to reasoning, why does the Tanna mention the case that the get was written in my presence, but it was not signed in my presence? Why do you mention that case? Why is this case also the chorus extra? Since the Tana teaches us later that the case of the shaliach who said the entire writing and half the writing was I noticed it and I confirmed it. The Mishnah over there rules that that's not kosher. So then kol shekein, this case is going to be not kosher. So seemingly there's also an extra case according to everybody as well. So that's what the Gemara asks. Ella lo zu avzuktani. The Mishnah is telling us not only this but even that the type of things, meaning that the Mishnah could have taught only the case where the signatures was confirmed, from which we would learn the halacha that in the case where you have no kiyum shtar at all, That the Mishnah is telling us a lozu avzu, where it's first introducing us the less of a chiddush first, and then the more of the chiddush is going to be second. Hachanami, so too over here, lozu avzu tani. The Tana is teaching us not only this case, but even that one, meaning Rav Chisda is saying that the extra case of the Mishnah is not taught to teach us a specific chiddush. If the Mishnah wanted to tell us a bigger chiddush, it would have said so explicitly. Rav Chisda is teaching us that the case of a shaliach giving the edus that he witnessed the entire writing and half of the signing, there is no edus about the second signature. That's our understanding. We mentioned that in the Mishnah is not problematic because that is before the other case. So it's a lozavzu. It's not even this one. Rather, not this one. Meaning this case is pashut. Now the bigger chiddush is going to be mentioned second, and therefore the Mishnah is not going to be superfluous because Mishnah many times has these type of ways of mentioning the cases. So that's how Rav Chisda understands it. So as a Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda. So now, once we mentioned combining Takanas Chachamim with the Din D'Oraisa of regular Kiyum Shtar, so now the Gemara discusses other cases in Shas where we have a combination halacha. Kidud Chamisha Mechitza Chamisha. If you have a ditch of five tfachim and a wall that only goes up five tfachim, Eimit Tzarfin, do not combine to make a legal halachic mechitza. What is the difference if something is a halachic mechitza? There's two main halachas that we, you know, for other things as well, but the two main halachas that we use are for Hilchos Shabbos, the creator, Shus HaYachid, you need a mechitza that is 10 tfachim. So this is very nageya for those when we remember, if you remember Sefes Erevin, that was very important to understand what is a wall in terms of what can create a Shus HaYachid, which obviously is very important for modern day Erevin to understand as well, because many times when you're using a wall, if you're using a wall around the city, the way you combine different things, partially is a very Elechimikan, that's the classic example that we're probably familiar with, is that you have one pole, and then the string going from one to the other. That is many times often used for part of it. But sometimes you also rely on a wall of a building or a wall of a fence or something like that. So how tall does the wall of the building, a wall of fence have to be? The halacha is, it has to be 10 tefachim, because that's halachic mechitza throughout the Torah. And the same thing with the halacha of a sukkah. A sukkah, the minimum size of a wall, has to be 10 tefachim tall. So these halachas are very important for these two, mainly these two. There's other things that come up also. The actually, Rav Salvechik held that the bare minimum for even allowing you to daven in a shul. So he actually applied it to the Bizman HaZeh about the shul, is the bare minimum, otherwise you're not even allowed to daven in such a shul. That's like, if you have a minimum, that machitza, you're not allowed to daven there. So, Rav Salvechik, the bare minimum is 10 tefachim. He still thinks you're not mekayim, you do just basic nesses if you do such a thing, because you're very much, very close together. You have, unfortunately, whatever, there's certain places that, not too super makbid about this, but at least they have a basic bare minimum, that's halacha of machitza as well. So anyway, back to over here. So when we're talking about the, if you have a 5 tefachim wall, or 5 tefachim, the ditch, are they mitzarif to create a shear? So the same thing with Hilchos Sukkah, but Hilchos creating a shear Shus HaYachid. So Rav Chisda said, ein mitzarfin. They do not combine to make a halachic wall. Achia kula mevachitza, because it has to be an entire wall, of 10 tefachim tall of a wall that you're using. Oh, kula begidid. Or, digging, to create the Shus HaYachid has to be a complete 10 tefachim area, as well. So Darash Marmemar, gidid chamisha mechitza chamisha. Mitzdarfin, he disagreed with this. He said, no, why not? Why aren't they mitzdarfin? Why could say 5 tefachim of the wall is good, and the ditch that you dug 5 tefachim deep into the ground is also mitzdarfin. That's 5 and 5 is 10. That equals 10. Vilchosa mitzdarfin. The halacha is they would combine to create a halachic mechitza. By Ilfa had a similar question about a different halacha completely. What mitzdarfin? Yadayim taras lachatzayin or in taras lachatzayin? Hands. We know that there's the famous, right, in order to protect for truma, we have the status of netila sedayim, that all times you're having bread, even chulin, you have to wash your hands for the idea of kohanim, as a little plug for everybody. So the hands is required. So now the shaila, even if it's just chulin, so the shaila is, are hands that are doing it by chatzayin, are they not? So the Gemara asked, what was Ilfa's exact question? Hey chidami, what was Ilfa's question? We're talking about two people, right? I put my hands out, and you put your hands on top of mine with a little bit of space right there top, and someone's pouring out from above us, from the washing cup, they're pouring out a revius. And there's a revius in that washing cup, and they're pouring on both of our hands. So says the Gemara, that wouldn't be the question of, that wouldn't be the question of Ilfa, because that, lechor, is a beferish Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, vatsna, and the Mishnah tells us in the very first Mishnah, that a revius of water that a person's washing, even two people may be washed. Since the cup originally had the shear of a revius, so then even if you're washing over two people's hands, that would be okay. Baruch Hashem, now we have sinks or whatever. It's not done. Yeah, sometimes on trips, actually, this actually could happen. I remember once, I don't remember the exact situation, but that there was such a situation where this happened. And meaning we were on a camping trip or whatever, or somewhere on a hike. And we brought sandwiches, and we had to wash. And the problem was, we only had like one container of things to wash. I think that's what they suggested. It was a big time Chacham was there, and he suggested this halacha, this eitza, that you could pour over from the kli into everybody's hands, and then put like three people on top of each other. As long as there's a starting point of revius, I think that would be fine. I don't remember the exact details on the passing halacha, but that's what something similar to what we did. So the says the Gemara, ve'ela the kamashe chada chada yade. But if ilfa is referring to where each person washes his hands separately, so here the act of washing was only done by half, like a half a measure, that it was only done for one hand and then the other. So the Gemara says, if that was his question, that's none. We learn in the, it's really Tanya, really, it's a Breisa, or Desanya, but Tanya, notel yado echad benetilav echad b'shtifa yadav tohoras. If someone washes his hands, we are doing the netilah sedayim from one by a kli and the other one by putting your hand in a river. Of a river that has 40 sa of water, so that to immerse your hands like that is also okay. The lacha of the Mishnah is all, the Breisa rather is yadav tahoras, that your hands are pure. So even though the Breisa's case is two different forms, but we see explicitly that works. So that wouldn't be lachora ilfa's question either about the half and half. So now the Gemara suggests a third possibility. Ella the kamashe palga palga diyade. So what did he do? Maybe ilfa's question is where a person washes half of each of his hands separately. Watches half of his hands separately. And the Rabbanan required that they have to be washed till your knuckles. That's the shayla, your knuckles or your wrist. Right? That's the machlokas. Rashi understands that she tussled throughout Shas, it's to the knuckles. I think it's Tosfos hold, another Rishonim, maybe the Rambam, that it's really all the way till your wrist, which is why all year round we're machmir, but where on two times a year we're actually, when we say meka, we only follow the Shita Iker Adin of Shita's Rashi to wash your hands, which is Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, because when there's an Issa Teresa on Yom Kippur and Cain Teresa of Tisha B'Av to wash your hands to have a chitza, so then if you're washing l'shalola torech, that's called the tanug. So there we're machmir for Shita's Rashi. Or machmir, we hold like she does rakim yekar dinah. We don't wash our hands past our knuckles. Same thing with Tisha B'Av, we don't wash our hands past our knuckles. So now, so Rashi just points out that again over here that each time you needed to wash them. So over here the two washings are viewed to being separately, and therefore they're not going to be betar or not. Maybe that's what the question is. That's what the Gemara's point is right now. But Hamar Devei Rabbi Yanai, and I'm intar lechatzin. It's pashut. Rabbi Yanai told us that it doesn't work. Washing half of each hand and drying it, you wash your right hand, dry your right hand. Wash your left hand, dry your right hand. It's pasha that would not work. So again, that wouldn't be the kasha of ilfa either. So it says the Gemara, rather, lo tzricha de'ika mashke tofeach. We're talking about a case where the liquid, when the water that's running in your hand was sufficient to moisten and be wet enough to moisten something else, whatever it touches. So therefore, he did not completely dry the first part of his hand, and while he then went on, and he did started to dry it, but it was still wet enough that it could have a little moisture to touch something else. So then, so that would be, and therefore, that's the shayla. Is it considered one netila or two? That was Ilfa's question. To which the Gemara says, v'chi ikum ashke tefeach may hava. L'chor, this case is also beferish v'atznan. Turning on to now to Zayin Amad Aleph, hanitzok v'ha kartrapas u'mashke tefeach eno chibur lo letumah v'lo letara. That if you have a stream of a liquid thing, or if you have something running down a type of slope type of thing, or you have a mashke tefeach liquid, which is enough if you touch it, your hand will feel wet. The halacha is it's not considered a connection between the two liquids, lo latumah v'lo latara, neither for tuma. The nitzuk is that one thing to the other would not be considered as they're touching, and therefore the second thing would not be necessarily tame, and also not for tahara. In the cases if you have two mikvahs and neither have 40 sa, and it's only touching together through these little amounts, so then that is not something which is considered a chibur, which would enable you to assume that you have a kosher mikvah. So the Mishnah is teaching us that the tofeach is, even though it's moistening, it's moisture, it's still a little bit wet, it cannot, it doesn't have the ability to connect two different things of liquid. So the Gemara is understanding, as Davar Pashut then the same thing should regards to washing one's hand. The Mishnah is telling us that we do not say the two parts are considered washing together, and therefore, it should not work. Okay, Bezer Shem will pick up with another suggestion of Ilfa of Lo Tzricha Be'ezer Shem in tomorrow. Actually, we have an extra minute. Let's just keep going to this point answer, then we'll get done with the Mikvos. Lo Tzricha, it's really in the middle anyway, but let's just finish up this line. Lo Tzricha De'ika Tofeach Latfiach. Rather, we're talking about a case where the hand was washed and it was moist enough that it actually, there's Tofeach Stam, like we just have, and Tofeach Amanat Latfiach. That's even wetter. If it's wet enough that it can moisten something else, then that's considered very wet. This actually has a lot of lemaisa implications. If a person, like a baby, you're changing a diaper or something, and some of the moisture got on your shirt, or something like that, or a lot of it got on. So that's the shayla. At what point, you're not allowed to daven or say any bracha or anything, if you're within dal and amos of Meir Glein. if you're in Dalet Amos of number one of urine anywhere. So how does that work when you change a diaper or something or got on you or something like that? So if it's tafeach amanat latfiach, if it's wet enough where if you touched your shirt, your hand will be wet. That if you now you put your finger on your shirt and you could actually take that it's moist enough that you took your finger and now you put it on, let's say, the desk in front of you or something like that. That desk will have a mark of a wetness. That will be something which is wet enough that maybe it's considered a chibur. Maybe it'll be a stronger level. Okay, we'll get into Hanam Tzniyam again. We'll do a little tzricha again. We'll just answer that again because it's really in the middle. But I just want to introduce that. Be'ez Hashem in tomorrow's daf.